Let us pray. Eternal God, Spirit of love, you create all things. You give life to all living beings in all our diversity and wonder. You breathe in us and make us one in your love. Your presence calls out in each of us to one another, seeking to be one with each other. Speak to us in our worship. Sing your song to us in our hearts. Come to new life in us. We open our hearts to you, Spirit of love. Arise. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. We know that from the beginning of all creation has been groaning in a great act of giving birth. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we await for our bodies to be set free, and to know we have been adopted by God. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit prays in us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what the Spirit is saying, because the Spirit speaks for us according to the will of God. The word of life. Thanks be to God. Please stand in body or in spirit for the Psalter from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will show your ways to those who struggle, and those who wander will turn to you. Reweave me into the body, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. Love, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifices. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a spirit broken open. An open and humble heart, O God, you will embrace. A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from God, the Spirit of truth who comes from God, she will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send her to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all the truth. For she will not speak on her own, but will speak whatever she hears, and she will declare to you the things that are to come. She will glorify me, because she will take what is mine and declare it to you. And that God has is mine. For this reason, I said that God will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Beloved Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from the second volume of Luke's Gospel, the book of Acts, in the second chapter. On the day of Pentecost, all the disciples had come together, and suddenly there was a sound like the roar of a mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues of fire divided out and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, living in Jerusalem. And when they heard this sound, a huge crowd gathered. And they were bewildered because they heard the disciples speaking in all of their own native languages. They were astounded and amazed and said, "Aren't all these people Galileans? How is it that we hear them all in our own languages?" There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, people from Cappadocia, Mesopotamia, Judea, Egypt, Pamphylia, parts of Libya belonged to Cyrene, the Romans, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs. And they said, "How is it that we all hear them speaking in our own languages about the wonderful deeds of God?" They were astounded and perplexed and asking each other, "What does this mean?" Of course, there were some people who just sneered and said, "Oh, they're just drunk." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd.
"People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The Pentecost story is a story about diversity. It's a story about how God wants a world and a church full of people of lots of different languages, different experiences, different perspectives. And it's the Holy Spirit that holds us together. The church is unique among organizations in the world because it's the only one that gathers with no regard to any common interest. It's hard for us to accept sometimes, but we're not here because we all believe the same thing or care about the same thing or have the same values. Even our religion isn't what holds us together. What holds us together is the love of God. It's the Holy Spirit. God makes us a church with love. And all of our various different opinions and religious traditions and perspectives and experiences all fit. They all belong within the infinite love of God. Even in our congregation, we're full of a lot of diversity, and it's supposed to be that way. The Holy Spirit doesn't homogenize us. It brings us together in ways that honor and celebrate all the diversity that we have. So, for instance, one little form of diversity is that although we all love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength, most of us tend to love God mostly with one of those, or at least first with one. So really, I ought to preach 4 sermons in 4 different languages. So here's one sermon for people who speak the language of the head, for whom logic and intellectual stimulation is sort of how you connect with God. You want thought-provoking sermons? Well, here's a sermon for those people. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, when the Advocate comes, the Spirit of truth, he calls the Holy Spirit the Advocate. That word in Greek is paraclete. Paraclete is a word that literally means one who is called to walk alongside. Para, meaning alongside. And it was a legal term. It meant a legal assistant. Somebody who would be your advocate in some kind of legal proceeding. Essentially, a defense attorney. Think about that. When we imagine God, we think of God as our judge. And attached to that seems to be that God is also our prosecutor. God is the one who lets us know when we're in trouble, tells us which rules we've broken. But according to Jesus, God is not the judge, not the prosecutor. God is our defense attorney. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's on our side, not against us. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to love people who are different from us in the church, because it gives us this key for how to connect with people who are on another side. The first step is to listen to them so that you know what values they have, what they care about, what they're trying to accomplish. And as we listen to them and find what their values are, what they want in the world, we can find some common ground and be an advocate for them. We could be on their side instead of being against them, no matter how different we might be. It's the Spirit that enables us to love people who are way different from us in the church and embrace those differences by listening and being an advocate, a defense attorney for others. There's your homework. Amen. Here's another sermon in a different language for people who speak more of the language of the heart. The Holy Spirit drove those disciples out into the street to communicate with people who were way different. That whole list of all those countries, the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, the Pamphylia, all that stuff, those are literally a list of all the countries around the Mediterranean. You look at a map and you can just go around the map with Luke as he names all those different countries. Well, that's kind of exciting to communicate with all those different people and love people who are so different. It's also really hard, right? It's hard to love people who are really radically different from you. The cool thing is, you don't have to. Just let God do it. But you have to be willing to let God do it through you. When we were expecting our first child, I was worried beforehand because I was pretty sure that I didn't have enough love for that kid. I knew that raising a child was going to take a lot of love. And I thought, I'm not sure I have enough love. I don't think I can do this. And the minute that little boy was in my arms, whoosh, there was this Niagara Falls of love. And I thought, whoa, where did that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. I didn't have to invent love for my son. It was just there. God gives us love for people who are hard to love. I've talked before about Desmond, this guy in one church that I served that was just, he hated me from the moment I walked in. And I couldn't figure it out. He was against everything I was for. He argued with everything I said. He sabotaged everything I tried. He was just a thorn in my flesh every time, all the way, in every way he could think of. And he was a hard guy to like. And once I was in some sort of big gathering, it must have been a coffee hour or something like that, you know, where there's all these conversations going on. And you're trying to listen to one person, and meanwhile, four other people are standing right next to you having other conversations. There was somebody next to me who was trying to get Desmond's attention at the same time that I'm trying to talk with somebody else, and they were talking with me about the love of God. And so I heard this sort of blended conversation. And what I heard was, God really loves Desmond! And at first I sort of, inside my head, laughed and thought, well, that's kind of funny, this sort of double conversation. And then I realized God was speaking to me. God loves Desmond. And in a flash, I had this realization that God had this love for this guy that I didn't have so much love for. And that made it so much easier because I didn't have to love him. I could just let God love him. But God needed to love him through me. But if I could bear my love to Desmond as God's love, I didn't have to really love Desmond. I just had to remember that God loved him. It made it so much easier. And what I discovered as I internalized that and did that over the next period of time is that then it became my love. And it turned out that I could love Desmond. And I found out why he hated me, why it was so hard. It turns out that it wasn't obnoxiousness, it was sorrow. And I could just love him even more. The Holy Spirit gives us the love that we need to have for people who are different from us. And it's already there. It's in your heart. You can feel it. If you just open your heart up to how much God loves you, you'll discover that it's everybody else mixed up in there. So you don't have to worry about loving all those people who are so different. Just focus on letting God love them. And you carry that love to them. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's in your heart. Amen. There's another sermon. For people for whom your primary language isn't necessarily the language of either the head or the heart, but really the soul. Your connection with God is something that you think about, but you know you don't understand, and that's okay. And you have some deep feelings, but it's not about your feelings. It's something else. In Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, the word ruach means breath and also spirit and also wind. In the beginning, the ruach of God brooded over the waters. The breath, the spirit, the wind of God. In the New Testament, in Greek, turns out the same thing is true. The word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, means breath and spirit and wind and flow. So pneumatics is all about the flow of pressure. Pneumonia means there's something wrong with the flow in your lung because there's fluid in there. It's the breath of God. Breathe in and you can feel God entering your body. Breathe out and you breathe out God. God gives us the Spirit and it becomes part of who we are. Just as in your lungs, you absorb that oxygen from the air and it becomes part of your bloodstream, part of you. Every time we breathe in, God enters us and becomes more a part of who we are. And God is what we breathe out into the world. Close your eyes and feel the breath flowing in and out. And know that God is transforming you in ways beyond your knowing, ways that you can't feel. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays in us with sighs too deep for words. Breathe in and breathe out. God becomes part of us, gives us the Spirit of love for all living beings, for all created things. The flow of God is always within you. Amen. There's another sermon. There are some people for whom the language of our faith isn't so much head or heart or soul as much as it is hands. People who do things, fix things, create things, change things, get stuff done. So here's a sermon for you. When you do that stuff, that's not just good character, that's God. Just be aware that that is God that leads you to do those things. We pray in the 51st Psalm, give us a new and right spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. The Spirit, as much as we need to sit and close our eyes and breathe in and out, doesn't leave us there. The Spirit gets us up and moves us out into the world to get some stuff done, to make a difference in people's lives, to communicate the love of God to those people in their language that they otherwise wouldn't have understood, to translate God's love into people's experience. So maybe that means that you volunteer at Open Table and you help people who are hungry. That's not just good character. That's not just generosity. That's God. That's God making you do that. Maybe you participate in rebuilding Worcester, and you go and swing a hammer and help rehab somebody's house. That's not just a hobby. That's God. And maybe then, a couple Sundays later, you come here and you share about it on Sunday morning, and you tell us about your experience, which Wayne is about to do. That's not just good character. That's God at work, making you do that stuff. Be aware that all those ways that we're called to make a difference in people's lives, that's what the Holy Spirit is about. It's not about being sanctimonious and believing things. It's about translating the love of God into other people's experience. And all the ways that you do that, with your hands helping people, cooking, giving rides, with your heart providing companionship for people who are lonely, with your conversation, with a listening ear, all of those ways of reaching out to people, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit that makes us one church, that enables us to reach out to people who are way different than we are. It's not about our hobbies or our interests or our personality styles. It's the way God works to translate that love through us into all those people. That's what makes us one. Give thanks for that power that's at work in you. Amen. Now, I'm not necessarily going to preach four sermons every Sunday. But you know what? I do. Every Sunday, I think about that. And sometimes I'm aware, this is a sermon that's really going to preach to some people. And some people, it's just not their language. You're going to be looking at the ceiling the whole time. That's why we have these big windows. But I know you're there. And I know that we need to do better. I need to do better at listening in these other languages and translating into other languages to reach people whose language, whose experience, whose perspective and values are different from mine. That's what holds us together at the church. Not that we're the same, but that we all have the same Spirit that help us love people who are different. And it's the Spirit that helps us to stay ourselves and to embrace those differences, but to stay embraced. It's a gift. And we open ourselves to that Spirit that helps us, not by inventing love for one another, but channeling that love of God that connects us with everybody. That's what makes us a church. That Spirit that enables us to embrace all of our differences in that one love. Will you pray with me? God, we give thanks for your Spirit alive in us. We open our hearts to receive your Spirit, to breathe it in, allow it to change us, so that we might be there for others, so that we can be on their side, bearing your love to them, to change their worlds with your Spirit. God, we thank you that we are all different. So it makes it beautiful and interesting. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.